in the 24th chapter, beginning at the 49th verse. At that time, Jesus said to his apostles, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. In this Ascension Tide, let us read together the celebratory psalm of our Lord's Ascension, Psalm 24, prophetic utterance that gives a deep understanding of what the Ascension is. Psalm 24 is found in the prayer book at page 368. We read it in alternate verses. I'll read the first verse, and you please respond with the second, and so forth. Psalm 24, at page 368. "The earth is the Lord's, and all that therein is, the compass of the world, and they that dwell therein.
For he hath founded upon the seas, and established it upon the mountains.
Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall rise up in his holy place?
Even he that hath clean hands and pure heart,
and that hath not lifted up his mind unto vanity,
nor sworn to deceive his neighbor.
He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation.
This is his generation that hath seen him, even the man that seeth thy face.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory? He is the Lord strong and mighty, even the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory? Even the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. These two Bible passages, these words from St. Luke's Gospel, recording the event that was given to us by eyewitness account of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, is for us now a creedal statement. We believe that Jesus ascended up into heaven. And so there were the apostles gathered with him, and while he blessed them, he was lifted up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Jesus goes through the veil into the glorious, into the glories of heaven. And now we hear from the psalm, the utterance, you know, we have the eyewitness account of how he left. Now we have the prophetic utterance of how he was received into heaven. The Word of God came down from heaven, was incarnate, made man for our sake. Now the God-man, Jesus Christ, is ascended up. Eyewitness account of him leaving, and now prophetic utterance of how he's received into heaven. Lift up ye heads, eternal gates, let the King of glory come in. Who is this King of glory? It is the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord who has won the battle. Jesus goes back into the glorious glories of heaven with a vesture dipped in blood, showing the wounds of his passion, now presenting that sacrifice to the Father, and it is accepted. We see also the words of the Epistle to the Hebrews, which explains the momentous meaning of what Jesus is accomplishing in his saving ministry. So in chapter 9, verse 11, Christ has become a priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Not that temple made with hands, which was the temple in Jerusalem that had been expanded by King Herod. It wasn't that earthly building. That is to say, not of this building. It wasn't by the blood of goats and calves, but it was by his own blood, that he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So on Ascension Day, we're celebrating the arrival of Jesus into the glories of heaven, where he presents the perfect sacrifice. In verse 24 of chapter 9, Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. These are simply figures of the true. Jesus has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And in chapter 10, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. So today is a victory celebration. We commemorate the ascension of Christ, his return to the glories of heaven in his manhood, now that he has become incarnate for our sake. One of our human race is now in glory at the right hand of the Father. We rejoice that he has done all things well, that the ministry is fully accomplished. And now we see that the order of Christ's ministry takes on a completely different dimension. So in his earthly ministry, he could be in one place at a time. But we don't have to go to Jerusalem to see him. We can stay right here and he can come to us. And we might take this for granted, but Christ can be in all the altars of the world that remember him today on the Lord's Day. And so his ministry is now magnified by the coming of the Holy Spirit. He is now the universal Savior of all mankind. And now we have a great high priest who is ready and available to us to minister to us. We hear this grand picture and vision of what Christ has accomplished in the first chapter of the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians in verse 20. This is what God has wrought in Christ. When he raised him from the dead, he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. He hath put all things under his feet, and he has given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And so again, we celebrate that Christ's ministry is now universalized. He is now the Savior of all the world. He is to be the Savior of every single person. It's God's will. And he is the Savior not just of the Jewish people, but of all the races, all the nationalities of all mankind, of you and of me. So the Ascension shows us that beautiful picture, and now it is for us to realize it, to claim it, to receive it anew on this Sunday following the Feast of the Ascension. For it means now to us very beautiful and important things. You know, in this life, we have many disappointments. And if we're in a place where we're looking back over our life and we're kind of surprised how quickly the years have gone by and we haven't quite done what we've wanted to do, and there are not, you know, some years maybe have slipped away. Maybe we've wandered away from Christ and now we're coming back, but we're thinking about all that wasted time. And or maybe things just haven't worked out in our family life, or maybe in business life we thought we'd be in a better place. The resume just isn't stacked like we thought it would be. Maybe the investments haven't worked out. Our ship that we invested in sunk off the coast and never came to port. We have a message today for us. And what is that message? That something greater has been planned for us beyond whatever we could try and scrape together from the things of the earth in this life. And that is that Jesus has ascended up into glory, and our call is to reign with him in glory. That is our destiny. That is our call, that we would reign with him in glory. And so what is Jesus saying to us today? We may be disappointed in what we have, you know, haven't been able to achieve, or what we haven't been able to gather. We might be a bit disappointed. But what does Jesus say to us today? He says, my kingdom is yours. My kingdom is yours. The same king who has been lifted up over all principalities and powers and dominions and thrones, the one whose name is above every name, who is the king of heaven and earth, of all things seen and unseen, He says to you today, my kingdom is yours. And so let us receive that. Let us be content with what Christ is giving to us, himself first and foremost, and then all that he has, and spousal love he gives to his bride, he gives to us. We also see these beautiful words in the Epistle to the Hebrews, which are a great comfort to us as we live out the Christian life, as we go from strength to strength, serving him and persevere on the pilgrim path. And we hear these words from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The name Jesus should be on our lips whenever we're in trouble, whenever we have need. Let us call upon him. Jesus, our great high priest, who is ordering all things together for good for us right now. Let us trust in his mercies. Let us call upon him in our time of trial. Let us rejoice in the victory that he has won for us. In this ascension tide, let us receive what Christ has given. Here is the Lord. The gates of heaven have opened unto him. Lift high ye gates, or lift ye, open ye the gates, the eternal gates to the Lord who is returning. And on this, in this ascension tide, let us open the gates of our hearts that he may reign there and have dominion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.